Well, Merry Christmas once again, everyone. God bless you. It's such a great joy to see all of you. And man, I love this time of year. I love this time of year for many reasons, but obviously the biggest reason is because it's a reminder of what Jesus has done for us and how God has been faithful to his word in sending the Savior. But I love it because people are actually a little happier, nicer around this time of year. You notice that? I like that. I like how we get a break, right? You get a break. Some of you get a couple days off here or there. Some get a little longer time off. We get to spend time with family. It's all wonderful. And in the preparations for Christmas, it's easy to lose sight sometimes of the true meaning of Christmas, even for us as believers. And so what I wanted to talk to you about tonight is making room for Christmas. That's what I titled this evening's message, Making Room for Christmas. And as I was preparing, I came across this little story. It's fictitious, but it certainly does serve a point. And the story was titled, No Room at the Inn. No Room at the Inn. And I share this with you. A Jewish lady was stranded late one night at a fashionable resort that did not admit Jews. The desk clerk looked down at his book and said, Sorry, no room. The hotel is full. And the Jewish lady said, But your sign, it says that you have vacancies. And the desk clerk hesitated. And then he said quite rudely, You know that we don't admit Jews here. Now, if you will, why don't you try the other side of town? And so the woman, she was hurt. She was noticeably hurt. And out of hurt, she just said, I will have you know that I've converted to your religion. And so the desk clerk, he says, oh, yeah? Well, let me give you a little test. How was Jesus born? And so she replied, he was born to a virgin named Mary in a little town called Bethlehem. And he, with an attitude, he's like, very good. Yeah, very good. Well, tell me more. And so the woman replied, he was born in a manger. He's like, that's right. Now, do you know why he was born in a manger? And the woman, she just got angry. She couldn't have any more. And she said, because a real creep just like you in a hotel would not give a Jewish lady a room for the night. Now, you know, the story for many people, it's a reality in this sense. Just like the man in the story wouldn't give or make room for a Jewish lady, there are many people around the world today that they will not make room for a Jewish baby or the true reason and meaning of Christmas. You know, people, they don't have a problem making room for a worldly concept of Christmas. They don't have a problem with a worldly Santa, gift-giving. People don't have a problem with gathering with family and friends and even making room for Christmas shopping. Some people actually really love it and enjoy the craziness. And I'm not saying that these things or all of these things are wrong, but for many of these same people, they will not make room for Christmas. They won't make room for the true meaning of Christmas, which is the Christ of Christmas. And, you know, if we're not careful, it can be easy for us, some of us as believers, to get caught up with the preparations for Christmas. And we can even become like Martha, who, if you remember, the Bible tells us that Martha was distracted with much serving. And there's nothing wrong with much serving, but it's when we get distracted. And if you remember the story, Jesus was at Martha's house, and here Christ is present among them. And Martha, she was distracted.
Pretty
And she was so preoccupied and caught up with secondary things. She had her reasons. She was saying her sister wasn't helping her. And she was just all consumed and missing out on Jesus, who was right there, right present. So much so that Jesus, he said to her, he said, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things." And for some of us, we have to be reminded to make room for Christmas because we become distracted by secondary things. And so what I want to do is I just want to take our time here tonight. And I want us to make room for the true meaning of Christmas. Let's push aside any distractions and all the cares that you might be bringing in with you. Let's just take all those cares and let's just offer them all to the Lord, because he is able, he is more than able to take care of those things that concern us. Did I get enough gifts for the kids? Oh, I haven't gotten anything from my parents yet. What am I going to get? Sometimes that's what our main focus is. Or fill in the blank. And we lose sight of what the true meaning of Christmas is. And so what I want to do is I want us to look at one of the accounts of the Christmas story. And we're going to be looking at Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. And I just want to share three things that the Lord ministered to me personally. It's almost as if I was just sitting in my office and throughout the day and throughout the last few days at home, just meditating and spending time with the Lord. And these are the things that the Lord ministered to me. And I wasn't planning on sharing them with you, but I thought I would share them with you because they just bless me. And so they're just three things that I'll share with you that I believe that making room for Christmas helps us to recognize and to see. And so let's go ahead and begin in verse 1 of Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife or engaged wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for him or for them in the inn. Now, there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over the flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for look, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, They made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and all the things that they had seen as it was told to them. Let's go ahead, let's pause and let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your love and mercy and for this Christmas story. And Lord, this is something that is not fictitious. We know that, God, you sent your Son into this world of darkness. You sent light into the world. And Jesus, you came to bring that light into our dark world, into our dark lives in every generation. And Lord, we are so grateful that you've provided a way where through faith in what you did on the cross, your death and your resurrection, that we can be translated from this darkness, and we have been those who have put faith in you into your marvelous light. We thank you, Lord, that you came as a babe. You grew up to be a man, but not only one of us like us, but the God-man. You came to represent us to the Father, and you came to do what we could not do in and of ourselves. You lived a sinless life, a perfect life. You always did those things that please the Father. And we adore you, Jesus. We thank you for your presence among us, and we thank you for your ministry and for your death and resurrection, and for how you've changed so many lives, and you're still changing lives. And God, we pray that you would strengthen us, your people, as we make room in our hearts for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, as we make room for Christmas, we discover three things. First, a Savior, as the text tells us, for unto you is born a Savior. We also discover a way of life. And we discover a heavenly heart. And that's where I want to start. I want to start with the heavenly heart. You know, it was said by the heavenly host, peace on earth and goodwill towards men. And the text, it tells us that this was a multitude of heavenly hosts. Let me ask you, when was the last time you were around a multitude of people? Maybe a football game. You know, there's going to be a multitude of people gathering on New Year's Eve over in New York City. How many of you watch the ball drop? And you see all those crazy drunk people hanging out. And that used to be some of us some years ago. Maybe not New York City, but right here causing havoc. But the Lord delivered us. Thank you, Lord. But a multitude, the idea is of an amount of people, or in this case, a number of celestial beings that really couldn't be counted. They all appeared to these shepherds. And this great number of angels knew something about God's heart towards us, towards mankind, towards you, towards me. What they knew was that God's heart towards us is very, very kind. Very kind, very well intended. His intentions are good. And I love that when we make room for Christmas, we're reminded of the heart of God. Because the coming of Christ really is an expression. Jesus is the divine expression of the Father. He is God the Son. But he is the divine expression, the Word made flesh. And he expressed the heart of the Father towards men. And they proclaim peace on earth and goodwill towards men. You know, before I came to really know Jesus, I mean, I have heard about Jesus growing up. I grew up with a Catholic background, but I did not know Jesus personally. And before I came to know Jesus in a very personal way, I had a distorted opinion of God, a distorted view of God. And this distorted view had developed because of how I viewed God. I looked at God through my shortcomings, my weaknesses, my sins. You know, I kind of figured that God was angry with me because of my life choices and of all the things that I had done that were wrong. I figured there would be no way that God was pleased with me. And let me tell you, there was times where I tried. I tried as a good young altar boy. You know, I remember, I'll never forget, you know, I wasn't all that good as an altar boy. Because for whatever reason, one day I just had it in me. I wanted to shake those bells, you know, when I was performing my services. I wanted to shake those bells so bad that it annoyed the priest so much, and he gave me that stare of death, you know, if looks could kill. I'll tell you, some priests, not all, but some priests and some nuns, oh my goodness, they can give that stare of death that'll make even the most rebellious kid, you know. Now, I'm not knocking nuns and priests, you know. I'm sure there are some of them that really know Jesus, and for those that really know Jesus, we are grateful for, no doubt. But the fact of the matter was is that, you know, no matter how hard I tried, I didn't know Jesus. I was trying in my own strength, so I figured God was angry with me. And, you know, I think many people, they develop opinions about God, that these views of God are filtered through their own conditions, through their own actions and experiences, instead of what is revealed from heaven. And what I love about making room for Christmas is understanding that there is a heavenly heart behind Christmas. And this heavenly heart, it reveals that God's heart towards us is immensely kind, immensely kind. I mean, we read where his heart is peace. His desire is for peace on earth and not war and violence and sin and sorrow. All of these things, that was not God's intent when he created mankind. All these things are a result of the fall and our sinful nature and the influence of Satan. But these things, we can never look to God and say, God, why did you allow this to happen? That's not God's heart. God's heart towards us is good. And Jesus, we've come to learn that he is a friend of sinners. And when he was on earth, he was so kind, so merciful. Just a reflection of the heart of the Father. You know, one of the things that led to my repeated repentance, remember when you first got saved? When you first came to know Jesus, remember how sorry you constantly were? You're like, oh God, I'm so sorry. Lord, I'm sorry. But why was it? Because you kept realizing how good God was. Remember? God is so good. He's so merciful and he's so kind. This is what Christmas is all about, is revealing the goodness of God in his Son, Jesus Christ. And he blesses my heart so much. And I know for some of us, you've gotten saved a little older and you think to yourself, once you got saved, why didn't I do it sooner? Why didn't I commit myself to Jesus sooner? Why did I wait so long? You know, his word reveals how good he is over and over again. And it's good to be reminded. Look at Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. This is the heart of God. He says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you. I know he was talking about his children and the people, the nation of Israel. But he certainly feels this way about all of us. He loves us. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Isn't that wonderful? Or what Jesus said, when he was on the earth. He said this to a group of lost people. He said, "For God so loved the world," John 3:16. We could probably all recite it. "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." It was out of love. It was out of a heart of love that he gave his son. Now, let me tell you, it wasn't that Jesus had to come down. There was a need, and Jesus wanted, was willing to come. And out of obedience and to meet the need to redeem lost man, Jesus came willingly to die on the cross for our sins. But it all stemmed from a loving heart, the loving heart of God. And he says that whoever believes in him, whoever, shall not perish but have everlasting life. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what your ethnic background is. It doesn't matter about your shortcomings or failures. The message of Christmas is peace. God wants peace. He wants to be at peace with us. And he's got goodwill towards us, a good heart. He loves his people. You know, Peter, this is much later than when Jesus said, "God so loved the world," etc. Peter, the apostle, after the ministry of Christ and after the death and resurrection of Christ, after he ascended to the Father and the church had given birth, Peter, he, even after years of the church being in existence, Jesus, Peter, he wrote 2 Peter. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, he talks about how the last days, he's talking about in our time, in the last days, there'd be people that would be scoffing and mocking. Do you notice that? People that say things like, "Ah, you believe that? Come on, we've been hearing this stuff since, for years we've been hearing this stuff. Yeah, Jesus is going to come again. Okay, yeah." And so he was writing, and really he was writing to address our time. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, Peter, he says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise." He's coming again. "As some count slackness," but listen to what he says, "but is long suffering towards us." He's patient towards us. All these scriptures just continue to remind us of how good God is. He's patient towards us. Listen, "not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." That's the heart of God. And you know, maybe some of you are here and you just need to be reminded as to how good God is. God is so good. Even you might have got a flat tire this week, or maybe you weren't getting the bonus you thought you might get, or maybe you're not going to get the present that you were hoping for tonight or tomorrow. But God is still good. And you know, we'll fail each other. Men will fail each other. But God never fails us. And one day, we're going to be in his presence without the distraction of sin and sorrow and the corruption of the world around us. And we're going to see just how good, we're going to understand just how good is, how good God is. And you know what blesses me? Is that it's going to take eternity for God to reveal just how good he is. He is that good. He is awesome. And so maybe you might feel, you might be here feeling discouraged, or you might be in a different case. You might not even be a believer, and you're here tonight, and you came, somebody invited you. And you might feel like you can't turn to God because of your sins and all of your faults and failures or your life choices. Or that's not the message of Christmas. The message of Christmas is come. The Father says he loves you. And in this day, The scriptures tell us that God is commanding that everyone should repent from their sins and turn to Christ. We're in an age of grace where God is calling through his Son Jesus and by his Spirit all sinners to repentance. And you may have maybe made a commitment to Christ, but you've strayed away from the Lord. The Lord is drawing you back. Respond to him. Turn to him. Maybe you've never made a commitment to Christ. You can make a commitment right now, right in your chair. You say, Lord, forgive me, cleanse me, I'm sorry. Because you've recognized the loving heart of God. God loves you. And when we make room for Christmas, we make room for a loving heart, the loving heart of the Father. The second thing when we make room for Christmas, we see a way of life. Now, each one of us, we have a way of life. Some of us are still developing that way of life, depending on how old you are. And others are pretty much set in a way of life. Let me ask you, how is your way of life working for you? You know, is it pleasing to God? And if it is, amen, praise God. Or is it causing you or maybe your loved ones a lot of unnecessary trouble? Husbands, how are you doing with your wives and your family? Wives, how are you doing towards your husband and your family? You know, Christmas is about changing lives and hearts and providing a new way of life, a new beginnings. Children, how are you doing? How are you doing in your walk with the Lord? And how is your way of life working for you? Is your way of life fulfilling? You find that you're fulfilled? You know, you could have all the things that this world offers and yet be so empty inside. And some of us, we live from thing to thing. You know, if I can only get this, and once I get that, then I'll be happy, and then it just wears off. Or if I can have this position. And some have experienced a lot of what life has to offer. I was sitting with someone yesterday, his age, he's in his mid-60s. And he says, you know, I've lived a pretty full life, and the only thing that I've discovered, the only thing that matters really, what I've discovered, is loving God and loving other people. That's the only thing that really brings satisfaction and value. How true that is. And we could be living a way of life that doesn't provide much satisfaction. You know, and if you're still developing your way of life and you realize that you need direction, or perhaps you're just unhappy with your way of life, you know, it's never too late to make a change. I already said, hey, make that commitment to Christ right now, or that recommitment to Christ. This is what Christmas is all about. It reminds us that there's a new way of life, the way of life that God would have us to live. And when we make room for Christmas, we make room for new beginnings and a life that's worth living for and a life that brings hope even beyond the grave. And I love that, to know that this life is just temporal. And Jesus, he came on a rescue mission to save us, not only for this life, but to usher us one day into eternity. And there is hope beyond the grave. And you know, this way of life, it's simple, yet can make the difference we need and even long for. And it was what the heavenly messengers, the heavenly hosts, they said. Very, very simple. They declared it because it was lived by them. That's how they lived their life. And it was this: glory to God in the highest. Man, what a way of life. That's it. It's that simple. Living for the glory of God. You know, Paul, he taught this in the New Testament in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Paul, he says, therefore, whether you eat or drink. Think of how trivial eating and drinking is, and yet how much we need eating and drinking. But eating and drinking is nothing. We do it every day, all the time. Some of you more than others. No, none of you here, those of you that might be listening, No, not even any of you. It's just me. It's me. I'm projecting my own feelings on others. Forgive me. I'm sorry. But he says, whatever you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. And I wonder, think of how your life can positively change by a glory to God way of life. You know, Paul, he said, whether you eat or drink, do all for the glory of God. You know, we could take this principle and apply it in a question form. We're going to ask ourselves, are the things that I'm taking in, and just going a little bit further, the things that I'm taking in, the things that I'm taking in through my eyes, the things that I'm taking in through my ears, the things that I'm allowing to come into my heart, you know, do they bring you glory, Lord? Do they bring you glory? Or he said, that is Paul, or whatever you do, my actions, our actions. My actions bring you glory, Lord. You know, when we make room for Christmas, we make room for a new way of life, a new way of living. And lastly, when we make room for Christmas, we make room for the Savior. You know, the angel, he said to the shepherds, in verse 10, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. You know, I love this. Oftentimes when there was communication from heaven to earth, those who encountered an angelic being were often afraid. And I suppose I would be afraid too. You would be afraid too if this angel just appeared right before you. That would be a fearful thing, I would imagine. But so often, the first thing that is said from the heavenly host, the angel, is, don't be afraid. And so often we're afraid of the things of God, but God is always saying, hey, don't be afraid. I got some good news for you. And he was saying this through the angel. I mean, the angel, they didn't come up with this on their own. They were following orders. And so the angel, he says, look, look. This is something to consider. I bring you good news of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. A Savior. Now this is what Christmas is all about. The Savior. And how much he loves us, and how this is good news. It's God's intent that the birth of the Son of the Savior be good news that results in great joy for everyone. For everyone. For all people. Everyone who believes in Christ. Not only realizes how good God is, how good the news is, how good the Savior is, but also comes to experience a great joy that nothing else can provide. And I can't tell you the times where I just sit and allow the Spirit of God to minister to my heart. And I know many of you experience the same thing. And he just fills our hearts with great joy, huh? And it all started on that day when we put our faith in the Savior. You know, the Savior came on a rescue mission that silent night. And then, as I was thinking about Silent Night and the Savior and the rescue mission, I came across this writing of this individual. I really don't know who it was, but in closing, he says this, and I quote, Silent Night is my favorite Christmas carol. I have great memories of it as a child, and the memories of Christmas Eve's past and the singing of this song are also significant. But apart from those personal sentiments, this year I have been drawn to a particular line in the song that has served to create a rich statement and reinforcement of the meaning of Christmas. Christmas is quite literally and appropriately the celebration of the incarnation of God in Christ, Emmanuel, and a celebration of the long-anticipated arrival of Messiah, the anointed one. And he says, but in Young's lyric, the dawn of redeeming grace has captured something else that is incredibly important to understand and be appropriated. He says, and this is it, the essence of Christmas really is the literal arrival of the grace of God in the Savior, Jesus Christ, that brings redemption to fallen man. And this is what we celebrate, that God has sent his Son, Jesus, the Savior, to redeem us, to restore us into right relationship with God. That's what Christmas is all about. And when we make room for Christmas in our hearts, we make room for restoration, for healing, for hope, for peace, for joy, for love, for security. The Savior comes and he sets up his throne in our hearts. Everything else is secondary. Everything else is secondary. Jesus is truly our love, our Savior, and the reason of our gathering. I can't give you anything more than Jesus, and I wouldn't want to. And so, in closing, for any of us here tonight, and maybe you've lost your way, as I was saying earlier, this is a second opportunity. Jesus loves you so much. God loves you so much. He wants peace with you. And so I encourage you, in these closing moments of the service, just turn to your loving Savior. Just ask him to forgive you. He's merciful and kind. This is a dispensation of grace that we live in. He's merciful and kind. And he just wants to restore your life, help you, and heal you. And just continue to walk with the Lord as you commit yourself to him. Let's go ahead, let's bow our heads and our hearts, and let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for your faithfulness to us and your mercy. And Lord, I pray for anyone here who maybe is feeling alone or feeling just discouraged, maybe going through different situations that has been prolonged. It's just been an ongoing thing. Or maybe someone here that doesn't know you. Lord, whatever the case is, you know every heart. You are the true King of hearts, and I pray, God, that they would turn their hearts to you and allow you to have your way in their hearts, Lord God. And with all eyes closed and every head bowed, anyone who wants to make a commitment to Christ, you can right from your heart right now. You just say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I realize that I am a sinner and that you are the Savior. And I give myself to you. Restore my life. Lead me in the truth. Guide me by your Spirit. And be glorified through my life. I thank you, Jesus, that you came as Savior to help me to live a life that brings you glory. And I thank you, Father, that you have a loving heart towards us. And we give you all glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.